Get road trip ready with a service checkup at your local Chevy dealer. They can save you time and money and get the job done right the first time, worry-free. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for current service specials or to schedule a test drive.
No one's getting relief from mortgage rates. I don't know if I'm surprised they're still this high. There's no relief yet in the overall interest rates, so I guess they're going to be up here for a little bit. Jeff Ostrowski joins us now from Bankrate. And Jeff, I love what you wrote. The last time U.S. mortgage rates were this high, Facebook hadn't been invented, Bill Clinton was winding down his second term, and LeBron James was a high school sophomore. Boy, that puts things in perspective, Jeff.
Yeah, it's been a long time. And I guess it when I wrote that, I was thinking about these artificially low mortgage rates and interest rates we've had for so long. I mean, it really started with the September 11th terror attacks. Alan Greenspan later acknowledged that he thought there were going to be more terror attacks and he wanted to push rates low. Then after the Great Recession, they went even lower, or during the Great Recession, they went even lower. And so we've just had these very low interest rates for a very long time until the past year and a half or so. And so it seems like probably that whole era of super low rates is over, at least for the foreseeable future.
I want to break that down in two parts. You mentioned artificially low, and then you mentioned when they lowered the rates overall. I mean, maybe there were reasons to do it, but do you talk to people that say, look, that was a fantasy land we were living in, and they were too low for too long? Or do people just smile and happy that they were able to get a low rate and not worry too much about the fact that maybe it shouldn't have been that low all along?
Yeah, I think the latter. I mean, it's as a homeowner or as a home buyer, kind of doesn't really matter what I think about Fed policy. I just go with what's happening in the world. And so I guess the one downside, though, is that these super low rates have really helped to push home prices up, and that's creating a real affordability squeeze now that prices are up and mortgage rates have doubled over the past couple of years.
We've talked about that a few times on the show, but can you explain it like we're 10, why higher interest rates would also then cause the prices to go up?
Lower interest rates cause prices to go up just by boosting buying power. So I can buy more house at a 3% mortgage rate, and so it's not that painful to pay $500,000 for the house instead of $400,000. But now that mortgage rates are over 7%, that's that monthly payment becomes a real squeeze. So I think over the past 20 years, homeowners were just able to buy a lot more house because mortgage rates were so low. And so that gave buyers a lot of leeway to bid up prices. And now it'll be intriguing to see what happens. I mean, we have this combination of the affordability squeeze. So a lot of buyers just are having trouble finding anything they can afford. And on the other hand, we've got a shortage of housing, and that's really holding home prices up.
Right. So many people with a 2.9 aren't going to sell their house to get a 7.3. So there's just no supply. So I guess darn if you do, darn if you don't with the rates over the last couple of years. Of course, COVID threw a wrench in everything. You know, I think a lot of people are like, all right, well, okay, I'll buy the rate or I'll buy the house, I'll rent the rate. And we say that too, and they're not going to be at this rate forever. But are we a long way away from a 2.9 ever again? Like, maybe we need to moderate our expectations for what could happen on when these things go back down again. Maybe they're not going down as far as we want them to.
Yeah, it's hard to envision us getting back to 3%. I know there are some housing economists say mortgage rates are going to fall. Maybe they'll be back down below 6% in the next year or so. But I haven't heard anybody predict we're going to be back down to 3%. And in some ways, that's good. I mean, the reason that mortgage rates fell so low was because bad things were happening. So, I mentioned several calamitous things over the past couple decades. There were the September 11th attacks, the Great Recession, and then the COVID pandemic. And so mortgage rates plunged for all three of those events. Those were good if you were shopping for a home, but they weren't so good for the overall economy, for our overall mental health and just financial well-being. So, I guess it's kind of a two-sided coin there. It's uh, if mortgage rates at these levels mean that things are actually doing pretty well in the economy.
I mentioned that home buyers out there, prospective home buyers, now have to kind of make some decisions. Are 15-year rates, maybe more feasible? Maybe you get a little bonus on the rate and you can pay it off a little faster. Also, like when you had a 2.9, there was no incentive to pay off your mortgage any earlier because, in theory, you could do way better than 2.9 in the market with that extra money you saved. Now at a 7.2, 7.3, I don't know. Is that going to spur on people deciding to pay down their principal faster? I mean, that could be an outcome of this.
Yeah, I think you're right. If somebody's sitting on a 3% mortgage rate, there's really no reason for them to pay it down. I mean, you can get 4.5% on a high yield savings account, so why would you pay down your mortgage any faster than you have to? But and it's over the past decade in particular, the idea of mortgage debt as good debt really sort of took off. It's like, why not just max out the amount you owe on the mortgage because that money's so cheap? That's not really the case anymore. So it's we're getting close to sort of the average annual return on the stock market for the mortgage rate. So it makes it a little tough to really want to to have a risk averse borrower want to carry a lot of money on the mortgage. So yeah, I think you're right. It is changing the mindset, and people are going to be more eager to pay down the mortgage more quickly if it's at 7% as opposed to 3.
Jeff, anything I missed that you think our listeners need to know?
No, I think you covered it.
All right, we did it. I'll take an A+ for our Monday. That's usually not always the case, Jeff. Thanks for joining us.
Well, an A anyway. An A. I don't know about an A+. We'll give ourselves an A.
I like that, Jeff. Jeff Ostrowski from Bankrate. That's a good read as well. Hey, got a question of the day today. It's a rollover from last Thursday. No one got the answer. The top selling category on Amazon is home and health products. That's the overall number one category, which makes sense. The things we buy the most are the things for our home. The number one thing in that category is what? So to put it simpler, what is the most popular item sold in the most popular category on Amazon? We had some guesses. It's not toilet paper, so don't call in with that. Don't call in with candles, and don't call in with diapers. It's something else. 312-981-7200 for your guesses. We'll get you a WGN Radio t-shirt if you get it right. We'll have the news coming up after this break on WGN. Question of the day has to do with the top-selling items on Amazon. The top category is home and health products. And the best seller, at least from this article that pulled the top 10, number one is what? Let's go to Dawn. Dawn, you're on WGN. Hey, Dawn, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Where are you calling from tonight?
Buffalo Grove.
Buffalo Grove, the BG. What do you think the answer is?
I don't know. How about vitamins?
I love that. I don't know. How about that? No, you're not right, but I like the guess. I appreciate, Dawn, you know, you're the first guest of the day. Someone's got to be the first one, and it wasn't right, but I still respect you, Dawn.
Okay, I'm glad. Thanks
for calling. See, you got to get the ball rolling sometimes. So add vitamins to the list of things it's not. It's not toilet paper, which I thought it was. It's not candles. It's not diapers, which I thought it would be number two. In fact, diapers aren't on the top 10 list. I think they're around 9 or 8. Toilet paper's number 10. So I don't know. This list might be a little sus, as the kids say. We'll have to find out if it's right. Did I use that correctly already? And I did. Okay. I'm very proud of myself. Let's get to Sally French, travel expert at NerdWallet, to get us back on track here. Sally, how you doing? Good to chat with you.
I am good. Great to chat with you, too.
All right. So I can't believe we're thinking about booking for Thanksgiving. We're booking for the holidays. Maybe it's because it was 100 degrees here in Chicago last week. But now apparently is the time to get the best price. That seems early, Sally.
Yes. In general, NerdWallet recommends that you book domestic travel 1 to 3 months in advance. And as you said, it's August 28th, which means we are just about pushing that 3 months in advance point. But of course, with holiday travel, earlier is even better.
How do we know that that's going to be the case? Like, how are you confident saying that if I buy here in September or mid-September for Thanksgiving, I'm not going to find a deal later on? I guess maybe you can't specifically say that, but you're going on trends, right?
Yeah, so you might get lucky and find a deal, but in general, it's difficult to find a last-minute airfare deal no matter when in the year you're traveling. Unlike hotels where they simply want to fill up any available hotel room, that's just not really the case with airlines. They're not necessarily inclined to sell every seat. One, because during holiday travel, they will anyway, regardless of if they have to offer a deal. But one, they always know they can get last minute desperate travelers anyway. So it's always good practice to just book early.
So they'll take a loss on a seat or two or three on a plane to keep prices higher generally and to not reward the behavior of waiting to the last minute.
Absolutely. And especially when it comes to holiday travel, there rarely are available seats, especially if you look back to things like the Southwest holiday meltdown last year, where there were so many flights canceled as is, in part due to weather, but in part due to other issues like computer issues or whatever caused Southwest meltdown. You had so many passengers desperate to get to their destination, and they couldn't find flights on Southwest or even other airlines. Quite simply, travel is packed during the holiday season, so you just want to book now to get that seat.
Is this earlier than past years?
Not necessarily. This is a trend. The one thing that I will say is that travel is back this year. For more than 100 straight days, the TSA has screened more than 2 million passengers each day. That's far higher than we saw in the first few years of the pandemic. Now that we're long past 2020, we're seeing travel back and big, and that means a lot of people ready to travel for the holidays.
All right, book early. Fine. What else should I be doing? Is there anything I can do to not necessarily beat everyone else, but maybe get a lower price?
Yes, if you can be flexible with your travel days, that's really good practice. Typically, the Sunday after Thanksgiving is one of the busiest days to fly. It's often been the busiest day of the entire year to fly. So if you can avoid that day, fly out the Monday, the Tuesday, the Wednesday after, especially if you can work remotely, then you can both save money and avoid crowds. Another tip is if you're not opposed, travel on the holiday itself. You'll typically find lower prices, smaller crowds, and typically people are just a little bit kinder when it's Thanksgiving or Christmas Day.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, get that first flight out. If you're not going too far, you'll get there by dinner.
Absolutely. And, you know, flights that depart before 9 a.m. are less likely to be canceled than those after. So take that first flight out. I know it's early. You don't want to wake up early on your vacation. But if you can, it's more likely your flight will arrive on time and you'll make it to the dinner table in time for turkey.
If we're going across the pond for the holidays, still book early?
Yes, in fact, it's better practice to book even earlier. International flights, you absolutely should be booking now, especially because this is one of the first years that people are able to book travel without many big international border restrictions related to COVID-19. That just means a lot of people are now booking those bucket list international trips. So again, you're competing for seats with them.
All right, Sally French, those are great tips, and I hope we get everyone to their holiday destination safely and perhaps a little cheaper because of our conversation. We'll chat again soon,
absolutely.
All right? Hey, for sure. Travel expert at NerdWallet. Before Mary, let's go to Riley. What's the number one house and health item sold on Amazon, Riley?
My guess was like one-time use floss
things. Oh, I love the floss things. That's on my list. Didn't make this list, though. 312-981-7200. Give us a call if you can guess it. 6:45 on the dot. Let's go to weather and traffic. Hey, Mayor. 6:48, Your Money Matters. Someone guessed vitamins a little bit ago for the number one Amazon seller of health and household products. And I said I couldn't find it on the list. I'm going to call it category. It came in at number three. Probiotics and vitamins, they lump together. Diane and Dave have guesses. Greg Hines will join us, too, in just a moment to talk about NASCAR downtown. And whether residents want it back. First, I want to tell you about credit unions. We talked earlier about Great Lakes Credit Union and their new branch in association with the Leaders Network, groundbreaking in Austin today. Well, credit unions, generally speaking, have experienced significant growth in recent years. Why? Well, in uncertain times, people need a reliable safety net, right? They want a safe. They want a solid return. And that's what you get with Great Lakes Credit Union. They don't invest in risky ventures. They don't invest in speculative lending. They are federally insured up to $250,000 by the National Credit Union Administration. So just like the banks, right? $250,000. And that's backed by the U.S. government. And it's great to know that as a non-for-profit, Great Lakes Credit Union reinvests in its members and their communities, like what happened today, what we were talking about in Austin. They've got a HUD-certified housing program where they offer financial counseling and foreclosure assistance to anyone who needs it. Anyone. You don't have to be a Great Lakes Credit Union member. I mean, it's great if you are, but you don't have to be to get that counseling. That is huge for a neighborhood. They also offer competitive rates up to 5% APY on their free checking account with debit rewards, no out-of-network ATM fees. You can save more with a money market account with terms that fit your financial plan. So like all the pluses of a bank and then all the bonuses of investing back into neighborhoods as a nonprofit. I think y'all get it. Join Great Lakes Credit Union today. Get a free high-rate checking account. Don't miss out on this great rate and the chance to bank for a greater good. Federally insured by NCUA. The number one selling Amazon item for house and health products is, Diane, what's your guess?
Pregnancy test.
Oh, boy. no, that didn't make the top 10.
Okay.
Maybe after New Year's Eve, maybe the first couple days of the new year. I don't know, Diane.
Correct.
There's a joke there. I'm going to leave it where I have it, though, Diane.
Okay.
Have a good day. I appreciate that. Let's go to Dave. Dave, what's your guess?
How about laundry detergent?
Washing machine cleaners comes in at number 7. It's a good guess, Dave. That's what I would have gone with, right? That's a common one. Oh, I only have 2 more tabs left. I better do it. It's not that.
Right.
This answer
they do easy reorder.
They do, right?
Very easy to click and reorder.
I know. Well, anyway,
thank you.
For the answer, which ultimately will be revealed when we get a guesser, it's one of those things as well, too. You kind of have them all the time. That's kind of a hint for you. Greg Hines joins us, Crane Chicago Business. Greg, we talked so much about NASCAR before and after NASCAR. I'm glad we've had like kind of a month break to reflect. And that's sort of what the neighbors in the neighborhood have done, reflected on NASCAR. What's the report card, Greg?
Well, the report card wasn't very good, but it's only a relatively small sample.
Mm-hmm.
Admittedly, the people who were most affected. What happened is that Alderman Riley, who represents much of the downtown area, does regular online polls, and he did a poll. About 650 people responded. And a majority, about 56%, said, "Nah, we don't want to renew that contract with NASCAR. Let them go somewhere else."
I'm kind of surprised that that number. I mean, it's over half, but this is an online poll, so it's not scientific. These are people that self-report. I would have thought the more angry people would be the ones filling out an online poll, and that would have pushed the numbers into the 70s and 80s. I don't know if you had the same reaction, Greg.
I did. Who knows? It is what it is. It's he asked, and that's what they said.
So where do we go with this? I mean, like, do we know what's it like? Do we know the economic report card of NASCAR? We were promised a bunch of things. What have you heard from local leaders or businesses in the area or even residents about some of the positives that were promised? Have you heard anything?
There's a group called Choose Chicago, which is the city's tourism arm. They've commissioned a report on whether we got our money's worth or not out of this. They commissioned it from a group at Temple University, which is pretty well-respected, and the report is not ready yet. But once it comes in, Mayor Johnson has said that he'll look to that and talk to the neighbors and talk to the interest groups and make a decision. But we don't have it yet.
Do we have correct me if I'm wrong, are we under contract for the year next year and the year after? Do we have an out that's written into it, or is there going to have to be some maneuvering if they don't want NASCAR to come back?
On its face, John, the contract the city signed does indeed appear to give both parties an opportunity to bow out, providing adequate notice is given. We're nowhere near that notice period. It would be into next year. So it appears that the city says, it's just not worth the inconvenience to people and the disruption. The city can say, thanks very much, but not again.
Was this just a thumbs up or a thumbs down, or did the questions dive a little deeper into maybe how NASCAR related to the neighbors?
According to everybody I've talked to, John, NASCAR really tried its best to reach out to people and try to minimize the inconvenience. But the nature of the beast is that there is going to be a lot of inconvenience. If you remember, they closed off DeSaba Lakeshore Drive for a while. They closed a bunch of side streets for a while. If I lived down there and, you know, I wanted a nice, quiet condo that overlooked the park and I couldn't get to my building without a lot of trouble, I think it would irritate me, too.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. And I had to drive into town, although it was on that Saturday of NASCAR was the easiest drive I've ever had into downtown because everybody was so scared of how busy it was going to be. But I didn't live right next to it, right? Like, and that's why I think this poll is interesting because, you know, I didn't know where they'd end up faring on this one. And here, at least again, this is a non-scientific poll, more towards the negative than the positive. But Greg, on this station, I will say the vast majority of people before the event said, why are we doing this? And I'd say more than, I mean, it's non-scientific, our texters and callers. But afterwards, more people had been turned around by it. I know we don't have that data, but I wonder if any of the neighbors felt the same way, that they went in with such negative expectations that maybe it didn't turn out to be quite as bad as they thought. I'm sure we don't have an answer to that.
We don't have an official answer. I suspect there's some truth to what you say. On the other hand, another way to look at the thing is that only a third of the people who were surveyed or who responded to the survey said that they did favor NASCAR coming back. The rest either didn't express an opinion or expressed no. So the question is, how much weight should you give to the people who live downtown? The argument of the proponents here was that, hey, the city's still snapping back from COVID. This brought in some new business. It was a big commercial. TV on this was broadcast worldwide, so it did the city some good in that sense. But, you know, they all go on the scale, and when the results of the study come in, I think that everybody's going to take a good look at it, and we will have a fight about it.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, we'll have a fight about it, Greg. I don't doubt that. I always appreciate your time here in the evening, Greg. You do great work at Cranes. It's a good write-up, and we'll talk again soon, okay?
Anytime.
That's Greg Hines, a legendary reporter in Chicago. Always does great stuff. Helen's got a guess for the top-selling Amazon health and home item. Let's get an answer before the end of the show. Helen, you got it for me? What's your guess?
Hey, I'm going to guess makeup.
Makeup is not the answer, and I'm shocked by that. So many people buy their makeup. Makeup is number 9 on this list. So
Okay,
you're very pleasant, even though you got it wrong, Helen. I'm sorry.
That's all right. I can't wait to hear the answer.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I know it, but I'm not going to tell you until someone gets it. 312-981-7200. Put us out of our misery. We'll do that after this break. And then news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN. What is the number one selling item on Amazon? At least when this article was written, that list can change, but it's up there. Number one in house and home and health. Marty, what is your guess?
Baby supplies.
No, that's a good guess. Ron, what do you got for me?
Toothpaste.
No. Paul, what do you got for me?
Something like paper towels?
That's number 3. You're so close, Paul. It's not paper towels. Lori, what is it?
Bed sheets.
It's not bed sheets. That's a good guess. That's where I got my bed sheets. I love my bed sheets.
Me too.
Let's go to
thanks, John.
Yeah, thanks, Lori. Let's go to Marcia. What's your guess?
My guess is air purifier.
That's got to be on there. It's just not on the list I'm looking at, Marcia. Last guess.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. Let's go to Susie. What's your guess, Susie?
Hair products?
No, it's not hair products. I'll give you a clue for tomorrow, everyone. Number 1 and number 2 are basically the same product. They're just different types of the same thing. What am I talking about?